Once we reach the station, we can find a ship departing for Tantis and pull the coordinates.
They're going to need Imperial clearance codes.
Got that covered.
Unlikely. Those codes change every rotation.
Which is why we're not waiting around.
Even with a stolen shuttle and clearance codes, you can't expect to walk onto an Imperial station completely unnoticed.
But you can.
And we'll be your security detail. You just walk us right onto the station.
You cannot be serious.
You were an Imperial before. Impersonating one should be easy enough.
I can't wear this. It's a captain's uniform. I was a vice admiral.
Well, you've been demoted.
I hate clones.
Bucketheads, Mevar Tegar. Welcome to our 251st shuttle stealing and imperial impersonating episode of Mandavision. I'm your host, Nargai Tom, and thank you so much for checking out this small independent Star Wars podcast. We're so glad you're here. Be sure to reach out to us on the socials. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. You can email the show, mandovisiontom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share the show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. All right, we are back, ready to dive into the latest installment of Star Wars The Bad Batch, the final season rocketing towards its conclusion. After this, only two episodes remain, and the way it's building, you can only imagine that it's going to be an explosive series finale, and I hope to mean that in a very direct way. Like, lots of things going explodey would be fantastic for the finale of this episode of this show. It's a pretty straightforward episode. There's not going to be a lot of sort of minutia to pick out in this one, but we do get a few things that are worth sort of getting into a little bit and exploring a little bit further. And I can't wait to do that with you guys today. We even get the name of the other child being held in the vault. We find out her name is Sammy. And as many of us probably suspected, but I wanted confirmation before I made a gaffe of epic proportions. Pantoran. She's a Pantoran. I don't know why I didn't just go with my gut on that one. But my fear of being wrong just wouldn't let me do it. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to get into, and I'm really fired up to do that with you. So why don't we just go ahead and get the episode particulars out of the way right now? Because let's just do it. All right, what do you say? This is Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. Original air date, April 17th, 2004. Our writer for this week's episode, the man himself, Brad Rao. Directed by Sal Ruiz. Primary cast, D. Bradley Baker is the Bad Batch. Michelle Aang is Omega. Ben Diskin returns as the Imperial Technician and Lieutenant Holmes in this episode. Helen Sadler returns as Dr. Scalder. Even Sinitsin is Jax. Jeffrey Bohm is Lieutenant Novitz and Stormtrooper. Keisha Castle-Hughes is Emery Carr. Let's see, we got Nia Singh Padilla as Sammy. Nasheer Dalal returns as Rampart. We have Olwen Wheelan as Eva and Shelby Young as Bayern. And that's got to be, listen, Shelby Young does a lot of voice work, but getting to be Bayern, that's got to be the gig right there. Just being a Tarlafar baby, just cooing and ooing. That's good work right there. I like that. Good stuff. Our plot for this episode, get ready for another hard-hitting plot description here. The Batch preps for a gambit in enemy territory. And as we found out from that, the opening of the episode, all right? All right, you know what? Let's just save it. Let's get to it. Let's get over the bump. What do you say? Strap on your buckets. Let's go.
Want to know a secret? I escaped from this mountain before.
Really?
How?
I had training. And I wasn't alone. Know what else? I'm doing it again. And I'm taking you all with me.
Ooh, doesn't that just get you pumped up? Doesn't that just get you fired up? Omega saying, I'm taking you all with me. Oh, so good. Well, as I said, this is a pretty straightforward episode, but it's also a very dense episode. There's a lot going on here. There is a lot to make sure we have a good understanding of what's happening. Again, we open up the episode on Tantus, and it's basically Omega's first day in the vault. She's getting to know her fellow M-Count prisoners. And, you know, again, just a reminder, their names, Eva, Jax, Sammy, and Bayern. And again, we have seen Omega grow and develop over these seasons. You know, the training she's taken from her time with Clone Force 99, from her brothers. And she's already hard at work plotting her next escape from the seemingly inescapable vault facility here on Mount Tantus. And again, the sort of, I go back to it again, the hopefulness that she has, the belief that she has in herself, that she will achieve the goals that she sets out for herself. Again, starting to inspire some confidence in these children. Again, it takes a little bit later towards the middle part of the episode when she gives that rousing little speech, when she reveals her secret that she's escaped before and that she's going to do it again. But again, she's hard at work getting, you know, securing tools and again, making these plans. And it's awesome that she is, again, she had this plan with Crosshair. They're going to find her on Tantus, but she's not waiting around. I love that Omega has so much, we'll go with the word agency for now, but just sort of like the initiative. You know, she's not waiting around for her brothers to show up. She's going to make it as easy as possible for when they do show up. She's going to be out of there already. And she's going to have all the prisoners, because that's been her goal since the start of this season, is everyone is leaving Tantus. The other clones, now these four sensitive children, all of them are going to escape. Meanwhile, at Tantus, there's friction brewing between Dr. Scalder and Dr. Emery Carr. And Scalder, not a fan of the way that Carr seems to be a little bit more sympathetic towards the children than Dr. Scalder likes. You know, Dr. Scalder very much like Hemlock in regards to treating them like scientific specimens and test subjects, not as actual beings and people. So I suspect we will have more conflict between these two, and that can only be good or bad for one of them. I guess it depends on who's who and what's what. But yeah, maybe Scalder's going to start scheming to take over the project from Carr because she views Emery as, you know, weak sauce and has zero time for that in their pursuit of their scientific goals here at Tantus. And also to get, you know, climb up that ladder with Hemlock as well. Back with Clone Force 99 and Rampart, I really enjoy their part of the episode. Surprisingly, maybe not so surprisingly, actually, they are sort of the comedy of this episode. And again, it's not like an overtly funny episode by any stretch, but they have, despite the intensity of their mission, of what they're attempting to accomplish, there are moments where you have to laugh. And there, it's all at Rampart's expense. You know, the whole line, you know, the whole, like, you've been demoted thing, you know, all of it. It's just so good. It's putting Rampart in his place for his haughtiness over those first two seasons of the show. And I enjoy it. And the voice acting that Nasir Dalal brings to this, again, something about it just kind of makes me happy to see him being put in his place by these clones, who he clearly doesn't like. That amuses me to no end. And I love that we're sort of doing very Star Warsy things in their part of the story, right? We're stealing Imperial shuttles. We're using codes that might be outdated at any minute. We're impersonating Imperials. The only difference is these guys don't have to wear Stormtrooper armor. They're already wearing it. But there is a sacrifice, because all that personalization, all that customizing that they've done over the years to sort of assert their individual identities since the fall of the Republic, they have to strip that away. They have to look more like, or they have to be able to blend in more with the rank and file of the Imperial War Machine. And it's sort of, it's sad in a way, because again, through the course of the Clone Wars and all the clones we've met through that show, so many of them have such bold and distinct individual identities. So there is something sort of sad about seeing those identities being stripped away from their armor. The expression of those identities being stripped away from their armor, probably more accurately said. But anything to get the information they need. So they have to go to the station above Coruscant. The coordinates to Tantus are transmitted directly into their navicomputer, so they never really even know where the heck they're going. So it's the Hemlock and the Empire has a very complex security routine in place to make sure the location of Tantus is never discovered. I sort of dig that level of security that Hemlock has in place, and that might be the one admirable thing about him, because if Clone Force 99 had had anything close to that on Pabu, they might still be there and still be safe, but very lax security on Pabu, and obviously the Empire very much more uptight about that security. So almost from the jump at this Imperial facility, the Batch doesn't get themselves in trouble, but just prior to that, I enjoyed Hunter being very clear with Rampart about, hey, just remember, the Empire put you in prison and we broke you out. Think about that before you betray us. And Rampart's put into a spot almost immediately where he has to sort of show that he isn't going to betray them. I still think he will end up betraying them at some point, possibly once they get to Tantus. But for right now, Rampart's doing his part. I want to play this clip because I did enjoy this. And again, this is more of that sort of levity of an episode that's fairly intense in its goals for both storylines. Omega's on Tantus and Clone Force 99's here. Let's just go ahead and play it.
Who is responsible for this vessel? It is not on my docking manifest for today. What division are you with? These uniforms are not regulation. I asked you a question, Trooper.
Step aside. My division and my orders are classified. If you have an issue with that, Lieutenant, then contact Governor Tarkin.
Yes, sir.
Now carry on.
Yes. Sorry, sir.
I've missed this. Shall we?
It's pretty good. It's funny stuff. Let's put a pin in where they're at right now, because I do want to go back to the opening with Clone Force 99 and where we find them, because it does. If it looked familiar to you, it is Bora Vio, the Kaminoan cloning facility where Omega had hidden out when the bounty hunters were after her. So it is a location we visited back in season one in very different circumstances, and now they sort of use it. The Clone Force 99 sort of using it as a way station, because it's kind of off the Imperial radar, at least at this point. Now, getting back into the episode, well, to the point that we were discussing, I should say, I do want to mention that Echo is with them, in case we didn't make that clear. So, by all intents and purposes, Clone Force 99 is back together as originally constructed, minus tech, obviously. But we'll see how that lands in an episode or two. So, Rampart is helping the Batch get further into this Imperial station above Coruscant. they're following his lead, and Rampart's kind of doing his haughty Imperial thing, and he's doing it to a T. I want to play another clip of him being Rampart here. Check this out. This is good stuff, too.
Troopers, you are relieved.
Captain?
Report to the barracks. You'll receive further instructions.
But, sir, we just started our shift.
Perhaps you'd like to spend a few rotations in the brig for violating Article 15 of Imperial Standing Order 10.
No, sir.
Just throw numbers out at these human stormtroopers. They don't have anything memorized. That is a fact. I don't know what they do in basic training, but it is not memorize Imperial Codes of Conduct. All right. Echoes are at work, and things aren't going to go quite according to plan. Let's lay it out there.
I'm in. A science vessel docked in Bay 8 is set to depart for Tantus, and soon. Let's get to that Navi computer and pull the coordinates. We can't. The vessel's tagged for direct uplink after it launches.
Which means there's no way to get the coordinates. Did that slip your mind?
You expect me to know technical details like that?
Then there's only one option left. We can't extract those coordinates, but that vessel is heading to Tantus. That's our way in.
What?
It's the only chance we have of finding Omega and freeing those clone prisoners.
Science vessels have heightened security protocols. There's no way you can all sneak aboard undetected.
But I can.
You can't go alone.
He's not. Once you're aboard, find a way to disable the proximity sensors. We'll follow behind, then attach our shuttle to the hull and hitch a ride directly to Tantus.
Now wait just a minute. This is not the plan I agreed to.
Plans change.
They'll monitor comms, so we'll have to go radio silent. Watch your back.
This is a very complicated plan. I probably would have just opted for putting a tracker on that ship. Like, give Crosshair another chance to make that shot. But this is definitely going to be a shortcut in many, many regards. But there's a lot of moving parts to this plan. But as far as story and narrative purposes go, so intense. Because so many things can go wrong, and I love that level of intensity. To me, it put me on the edge of my seat, and I couldn't have been happier with that little narrow strip of couch underneath me. I was enjoying the heck out of this episode as the intensity ramped up. Now we're going to cut back to Tantus, and to my recollection, I've not seen this shot before, and it's an overhead shot of Tantus, and it's like this sort of like double ring that looks vaguely familiar to me, but I can't place it. I have no idea if its symbology means anything in Star Wars context. But it's got to, right? Like, it's there's something familiar about this to me, and I can't quite place it. And I don't know if too many others Star Wars podcasts have talked about this just yet, or if they've started kind of like speculating about it. But it's a really neat shot of the facility, and I wonder if there's more to it than maybe we're being led to believe at this point in the show. So on Tantus, this is when Omega begins testing her theories, her observations, putting everything to work. She's got that stolen tool, and she's going to start removing panels from the wall, and she believes she's found a way for them to get out of the facility, so the plan's in place. But she almost gets caught by Dr. Sculder. Dr. Sculder, very suspicious of Omega, and I suspect we'll be keeping a very close eye on her in the remaining episodes of the show. As again, Sculder expressed this to Emery earlier in the show that Omega is sort of a wild card in all of this. You know, the other children are, I don't want to say domesticated, but like they have become accustomed to their situation. You know, I think it's what Eva or maybe it was Sammy who said it earlier that you know, Omega will get used to things. It's just gonna be the way that it is. So Sculder is already on to Omega without having any proof, just because of past actions, past history. Back to the space station, though, things ramp up the intensity as Echo goes full Splinter Cell and just stealthily sneaks around this hangar so he can access the science vessel. There's Imperial commandos around on the prowl. there's load lifters, there's astromechs, there's all kinds of things happening in this hangar, and that Echo has to avoid to gain access to the ship, and eventually he does. But as he begins hacking into the computer to turn off those proximity sensors, an alarm goes off in the bridge for unauthorized droid activity. So they know someone's on the ship. They know something's going on. So they're going to send people down to investigate it. Meanwhile, back on the stolen Imperial shuttle that Hunter, Crosshair, Wrecker, and Admiral Rampart, former Admiral Rampart, are on, they are eagerly awaiting the proximity sensors to be shut down. And I want to play the clip right here because, A, I want you to hear the incredible Kevin Kiner score. The guy's on fire here. Like, again, I mentioned the intensity of this episode, and the music just underscores it 17 different times. And just listen to it as all this is happening. And Rampart just telling them, this isn't going to work. We have to get out of here. This is not a good plan. This is terrible. And Crosshair, showing that development of Crosshair again, his belief in Echo is sort of like the highlight of this scene to me. So I wanted to play that for y'all.
What are you waiting for?
The proximity sensors haven't been deactivated yet.
This isn't going to work. Their proximity sensors will detect us and shut us down.
Relax. Echo's on it.
That's just good stuff. I love seeing Crosshair with the confidence in his brothers. Makes me very happy. But that music, ooh, it's just ratcheting up that tension. And you guys know how much I love it when the tension gets ratcheted like that. Ooh, this episode's got you going until the very, very end. And, well, how's it going to turn out?
Report. We don't have time for more delays.
All clear. It must have been a malfunction, so
proceed.
They're about to jump. Echo will come through. He just needs more time.
Which we don't have. He's probably been captured. Abort the mission.
Negative.
So Hunter engages the ship's engines. They rocket towards the science vessel, beginning their maneuver to attach to the bottom of the hull, trusting completely that Echo will get the job done in time, which he does, because he's stunned. The stormtrooper sent down to check the cargo hold and see what's going on with the droid accessing everything. Oh my gosh! It's so much! It's so intense! It's so great! And of course, they make the connection. Their ship attaches to the lower bottom of the hull of the science vessel just as the hyperdrive kicks in, and they're off to Tantus. Fade to black. That's the episode. Boom. Oh my gosh. They did such an incredible job. Again, the escalation, the tension and building, putting you on the edge of your seat. Is this going to happen? Is it going to work? We've been seeing the Batch's plans not necessarily work out when it comes to figuring out what's going on with Tantus. So was this one going to be the one? Well, yeah, maybe you could say it, you know, inevitably, with the show's end just around the corner. But they do such a good job that if you're invested, you're on the edge of your seat and you're having a great time. That was killer. That was excellently executed. And I am so fired up for the next episode. Man, that was a good ending. I can't wait. Omega has her escape plan. Clone Force 99 is en route to Tantus finally. And it's all coming to a head. These last two episodes are going to be incredible. Check the insulation in your buckets, okay? Because it's going to be a bumpy ride, and we don't want anyone getting concussed on the way. This is going to be intense. Buckethead Nation, this one, I'm giving it 9. I really dig this one. Again, it's a straightforward, there's not like any kind of crazy mythology expanding information given here, but that intensity, the unrelenting pursuit on both storylines of Clone Force 99 and Omega's, like their objectives and what they're doing to achieve those objectives is just really well executed. It's great storytelling, and man, this is some good Star Wars, and if people aren't watching it, they are really, really sleeping on a gem here. Again, 9 buckets. I really dig this one. It's, ooh, those closing moments of this episode and all of Rampart stuff, again, the little bit of levity we were getting from there doesn't underscore the drama that of which the episode has. I can't get enough of it. Can't get enough. And I think that's going to close up the episode. Maybe that my 9's a little overly generous, but I'm fired up. I'm fired up for these last two episodes. Do something about it. You can't stop me. All right, Bucketheads. Thank you so, so much, Buckethead Nation. You are the best Star Wars supporters out there. I truly, truly appreciate every single person who takes the time to download, stream, share the show, even watch our less than stellar YouTube presentations when it's allowed to be on the platform. I truly, truly appreciate everyone who takes the time to do that. Remember, hit us on the socials. We're at @Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. Email the show, MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share this show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. If possible, so inclined, sweet, sweet, sweet 5-star reviews on whatever platform you listen to that will allow them. Mostly it's iTunes, but that helps us out a ton. iTunes is definitely the bulk of our subscribers or followers, whatever word they're using these days. So if you can do that, truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you guys so, so much. We're going to be here every week for these next two episodes. We're not going anywhere. Don't miss a beat. All right, Bucketheads, go out there. Be great Star Wars fans. Be kind and supportive of other people and their crazy Star Wars ideas, even if they're so crazy that you think they're insane. Just be cool. Be cool about it. It's all good. We're all here for the fun. All right, Bucketheads, we'll be back next week. This is the Mandovision Podcast, and I am your host, Nargai Tom. And remember, this podcast can only end one way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Bounty hunting is a complicated profession.